Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Jesus Prays for You.
2 Chronicles 5. Thank you, Fabian.
With all the work that Solomon did for the house of the Lord was finished, Solomon brought in the tithe, the things that his father David had dedicated, and stored the silver, the gold, and all the vessels in the treasuries of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the people of Israel in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the Israelites assembled before the king at the festival that is in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites carried the ark. So they brought up the ark, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests and the Levites brought them up. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be numbered or counted. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in his sanctuary of the house, the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim made a covering above the Ark and its poles. Poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from the outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the 2 tablets of Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel after they came out of Egypt. And when the priest came out of the holy place, all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to their divisions. All the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kindred, arrayed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. It was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Fabian. We now have John 17 and Gwen. Thank you.
Jesus looked up to heaven and said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are with me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So looking at the Old Testament verse, we have this big formula almost of the temple being built and being finished off, and then all the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, the Levites, and then different things coming into place. The different people, the different singers. Well done, Fabian, getting those names out. And trumpeters, and you know, there's this massive fanfare coming into the temple, and it's this real climax. And I can't help but wonder if you were there, it'd be like, is God going to show up? Is that going to happen? So often we meet on a Sunday, and we're praying beforehand, and we're asking God to show up. We're asking for God's presence, you know, because we could bring sermons, and music, and prayers, and all this stuff. But yeah, if there's no like presence of God, if there's no feeling that you're interacting with the most holy one who loves us and cares for us and wants to meet with us, then actually it's just formulaic, is it? It's just like we're there, but it's not really. So we always pray before the service that God's presence will come. Now, it's never, the church is never filled with a big cloud that I know of, unless you have a smoke machine. But this must have been just wild. You know, you have this massive climax, the whole of Israel like waiting, and then it happens, and people can't stand because of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That's like, it's just this amazing climax of Israel and the promised land and the building of the temple that David couldn't do, but he had to gather the materials, and Solomon did it. And it's like this moment where God arrives and he is with his people again, and they are able to enter into his presence by coming to the temple. Now we flick to Jesus. And in John 17, we have this beautiful prayer that Jesus starts by praying for himself. And then he prays for his disciples. And then lastly, he prays for all believers. Now, I don't know if you think of like someone in history, someone famous that you really respect. And then you find a piece of their diary or parchment or something from history that's actually praying for you. And this is what it is. This is Jesus praying for you. Which is amazing. It's so easy to skip over it. But this idea of God's presence being there in the temple and all these steps coming to it, and then flipping forward to Jesus and him being in human form and being present, but praying on our behalf. So instead of having to sacrifice all the animals that they were doing and having the temple and all that stuff, Jesus is now there. And he's praying. And just after this prayer, he goes off to the Olive Garden and is arrested. So we have this beautiful chapter of prayer where Jesus is praying for himself, the disciples, and us. And then he's arrested, trialed, and put on the cross and killed. And so this is just like a really interesting interaction. So I was thinking about this idea of presence and what's changed. So a lot in the Old Testament, it's almost like an intercession. It's like you have to do intercessory prayer. You have to take a sacrifice. You have to do some kind of formula to get God's presence. Whereas with Jesus, there's an idea of advocacy. Now, this is a lovely book here called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And I just want to read you a little bit. So there's a slightly different nuance to the Greek words underlying each of intercession, advocacy. So intercession has the idea of mediating between two parties, so bringing them together. So in like the temple, you have God and you have the people, and the intercession is bringing them together. Advocacy is similar, but has the idea of aligning oneself with another. An intercessor stands between two parties, like the temple and the sacrifice and the most holy place. So it stands between two parties. An advocate doesn't simply stand in between the two parties, but steps over and joins the one party as he approaches the other. Jesus is not only an intercessor, but an advocate. And like intercession, advocacy is a neglected teaching in the church today, but it flows from the very depths of Christ's heart. And we have in 1 John 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And it's also mentioned in Hebrews 7:25 as well. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This idea of advocacy is that Jesus is stepping into our humanity, into our sin, into our very place. He is kneeling, praying for us. And now he's gone to be with the right hand of the Father, and he continues to be an advocate on our behalf. It's not finished with. every day Jesus is praying for us. He's asking, he's standing along, he's standing in our shoes and saying, you know, I still love the church. I still love these people. Look what they do. Even though we're sinners, even though we're broken, even though we put him on the cross, even though we haven't got the formula right, or we haven't done the right prayers or the right sacrifices, we haven't been to church enough, or all these, you know, it's so easy to put a formula into religion, isn't it? But he's an advocate on our behalf right now, this very day. And so what does that mean for us? What, like, he's asking, he's telling God about us on our behalf, which is incredible. When you think about this idea of advocacy instead of intercession. So that's what I want to bring this morning. Now, what does that have to say about the earthquake? I'm not sure. I just know that Jesus is standing alongside those who are suffering right now. So often in suffering, I think we think we're separate or God has left. When things go wrong, we're like, God has left the building, or he doesn't exist, or something's happened. But actually, from what we read about Jesus, that God is with those people now. He is suffering alongside them. And yeah, I'd love to pray for Turkey and Syria tonight, for the freezing temperatures, the people that lots of people going over to help, but they're really struggling to get to the people that need it most. And they feel like they're running out of time, and the death toll just keeps on growing. So let's offer all that up to God. Lord, I thank you for the Psalms. I thank you that we open them, like this morning, Psalm 34, with the words sometimes, you know, they just jump out and join in with our emotions about how we feel. There's so much lamenting and grievance in the Psalms that it is a part of our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for them. I thank you that the Bible isn't just like this. What's the word? Like it's been cleaned, or like it's been, you know, it just feels raw, and it feels so full of humanity's faults and grievances that I thank you for it, because it actually feels real. And Lord, I thank you that for the rich history that is there, the journey of humanity with you, Lord, in the temple and all that happened there, and then with Jesus. And I thank you that he is standing beside us right now. And he is an advocate on our behalf. And so, Lord, as we go about our day, as we think about what we're doing, Lord, I pray that we would tune in to that your kingdom is near. It is not far away. And Lord, I bring before you the people of Turkey and Syria for these earthquakes that have happened, Lord. Seeing the pictures and the stories, it's just heartbreaking. And as the death toll continues to climb, and the World Health Organization estimates around 20,000, I can't imagine that kind of number in my mind, and the amount of suffering. Lord, so Lord, in the darkest of places, I pray that your grace would be the lightest, would be most evident. I pray for warmth, Lord, for those who are freezing. And those that are trapped and hanging on in there, Lord, I pray that your angels would surround them. You'd somehow help them to survive. And for those that are rushing to help and aid, Lord, would you make their path straight? Would you help them to get to the people that need it most? Lord, we just ask that your presence draws close to them this morning. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.